Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. EMP 180 Weight Loss. .com. Holden Kushner joins us at 8:20 to talk some baseball, and Mike Rizzo, as he does every week, Nats GM, president of baseball ops, he will be on the show at 9 a.m. to talk about the Nats.
All right, you want to talk about the Nats last night?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Took on the O's at the park. Orioles jump out to a 5-1 lead. David Hess started the game for the Orioles. Jeffrey Rodriguez for the Nats. Rodriguez was actually throwing hard, man. He was throwing about 97.
That was a new name for me.
Maybe he touched 98. But he gave up two-run homers, one to Peterson and one to Mancini. And it was 5-1. But then, of course, the Nats got to David Hess and scored four in the bottom of the fifth. And once the Nats got into the Baltimore bullpen, it was pretty much curtains because the Baltimore bullpen gave up 9 hits and 2 walks in, you know, basically 4 innings. And they win the game 9-7. So Bryce went 1-for-4. You know, Valdez and I have those two bets that he'll bat 333 in this series and hit a home run. So he's, you know, off to a 250 start. Goes 2-for-4 tonight. We're right back in the thick of things.
The Orioles are 9-28 away from Camden Yards.
Yeah, they're bad. Dave Martinez.
I'll actually be at the game tonight.
Oh really? Look at that.
Oh, cool.
Section 128.
Those are nice seats, Valdez.
Martinez shook up the lineup a little bit. Eaton led off, went 2-for-4, scored a couple, had a couple RBIs. Soto jumped to the 2-hole and went 1-for-3 with a couple walks. Rendon batted third, and Harper batted cleanup, and then they dropped Turner down to 6. So, and Turner went 4-for-4 and hit a home run. So maybe they'll have that same lineup tonight.
His average creeping up. He's at 267 now.
Yeah, he needed it.
Do you have the audio of the MLB guys talking about Bryce's struggles?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so there's two clips. There's kind of like a roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about kind of what's going through Bryce's head and if he can come out of the slump. And
which,
then,
by the way, is always difficult because no one knows what's going on in his head.
And then there's another clip of Brian Kenny going into the stats this year with Bryce.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear both of these.
Which one do you want to hear first?
Let's start with Kenny.
All right.
Because that was first in the actual show.
So there's a lot of things going on here. Harper's leg injury last year has changed him a bit. His sprint speed is down. It's tied for the third biggest drop this season of any player. As a result, his defensive metrics are down. He can't run as well. Now, it's not a shock or a knock on him. That was a serious knee injury. The fact that Harper even made it back for the playoffs last year, remarkable.
Wait a second. Slow down. So that's something I never even considered. So he's saying he's still banged up, not fully healed from when he slid on first base.
Well, not still banged up, but he said it affected him to the point where he's not as fast as he was.
Well, yeah, right. So he's still banged up.
Yes.
So he hadn't healed properly, or it just
or he's just hesitant because it's in the back of his mind. Maybe he feels fine, but
yeah, but he should still be able to sprint after balls in the open field.
Yeah,
you want to shy away from the wall.
He's not as fast.
He's just saying he's slower.
Yeah, so that means he's deteriorated since then.
Slightly, yeah, that's what they're saying.
First I've heard of that.
Well, we don't pay attention to stuff like that. Yeah. We just see him not get to a ball or, you know, drop a ball or
misplay a ball.
And we're thinking, all right, well.
He's not that good. I just think he's not that good a fielder.
We're not thinking about the fact that he had a pretty serious injury. All right, keep going.
So there's a lot of things going on here. Harper's leg injury last year has changed him a bit. His sprint speed is down. It's tied for the third biggest drop this season of any player. As a result, his defensive metrics are down. He can't run as well. Now, it's not a shock or a knock on him. That was a serious knee injury. The fact that Harper even made it back for the playoffs last year, remarkable. But he's not playing with abandon. Not yet. Now, even with the Statcast or process numbers saying he's hitting the ball hard, there is, though, a place where the barrels go to die. And that is the extreme shift. Harper has gotten predictable, and defenses are waiting. Harper hits 56% of his ground balls and line drives to the right side, and defenses have set up shop to collect even his frozen ropes. Go back to 2015, the MVP season. Defenses shifted on Bryce Harper only 18% of the time. It went up the last 2 years to over 20%, and now look at this season, 56%. It's nearly a full-time shift, you know, in certain situations. Harper can wait until they legislate against it, but that might take a while. We'll see soon if he can start hitting around it or over it. But being one-dimensional is going to cost him a lot of money.
That's what it is. That's more than anything what it is. They're just shifting on him 56% of the time, where in years past they were doing like 10 or 20%.
Yeah.
That's what's killing him.
His pull rate, they said 56%. His pull rate is at a career high 48%, according to this.
So now he's going to have to adapt somehow.
Yeah, so his pull rate's 48%, but they're shifting on him 56% of the time.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there waiting for him.
He hit three balls to the opposite side field yesterday.
Which is progress.
Now,
one at bat I saw, I pulled. But
okay, so the other three were pretty weak. The double, I guess, was a little blooper over third baseman's head or where the third baseman would have been playing.
That's fine. That'll keep him honest.
The other two were just kind of weak fly balls to left field.
I like the progress. To me, that's progress.
But it's interesting that that Kenny was breaking out those numbers, because you know most fans have no idea what those mean, and that they
I didn't realize
exist.
They were shifting on him that much.
All right. So later, they talked about Harper for a good 20 minutes. So later in the show, there was a little round table. It was Brian Kenny, John Heyman, Dan O'Dowd, and another writer, and they were talking about Bryce Harper and why he's struggling. This is some of the conversation here.
There's a lot of things going on here, but there's something. I mean, there's something here. He's not that good right now.
You know, I got a different take on it, I think, than anybody probably at the panel. I believe this is good for Bryce. Painful to watch, but ultimately I believe he's trying to figure out what kind of player he is. He's learning to compete when competing is really hard to do. And it's okay to fail. He just needs to understand why he's failing. To me, BK, I think he's a safer investment if he comes out of this. And by coming out of this, I mean he understands how to deal with these situations when he gets in them, because there's been some inconsistencies in his career up to this point in time. I think he's handling it emotionally actually pretty well for a relatively young player. And I think in the long run, he's going to be a better player because of it.
But that's the big if, right? If he comes out of it. And, you know, I'm always into the high human drama on all these stories, right? This is a guy, he was a kid, he was brash, he was obnoxious, he was overconfident, he was incredibly talented, right? And now he's hit this first real string of adversity for the first time. Every major figure in public life, whether you're in sports or anything else, hits that moment.
Right.
Do you come out of it or not? It can crush you, and you're never the same. Or you bounce through it. And when you bounce through it and you learn the lessons and you're a deeper, more mature, more stable, more grounded player or person, you're going to be way better, and he's 25 years old.
No,
his skills aren't going to start to deteriorate for another 5, 7, 8 years. He could be a monster, or this year could crush him, and he could never be the same.
Oh, there's never see that. That's like such a
just
reaction.
The mental piece of it. I think.
He's had a Ted right? Williams season. A 460 on base.
I agree with
he
that.
Slugged 650.
I agree, but what he's a 20. He's still 25 years old. Remember what you were like when you were 25? Yeah. What happens when the game is so mental? What happens if you start to doubt yourself?
I was struggling in UHF TV, so that was different.
I don't want to think that. Player starts to doubt himself.
No doubt.
Oh, really?
What happens?
I mean, come on. Now, here, well, the thing is, I think there's no doubt. I put money on it. I wouldn't put $400 million on it. But I put money on
well,
him
that's
coming
the question,
out.
He's going
to be
right,
but right. The question is, it comes down to, hey, you could love the player and know he's going to be back, but we're talking, are you going to push $40 million a year or $35 a year for 10 years?
All right, so I want to throw this question out to Nats fans. First of all, do you think he's going to come out of it? I do. I think he's going to come out of it. How far he comes out, I don't know. But the Nats are going to need him to come out if they're going to win this division, because the Braves aren't going away. So 800-636-1067. And then the second question is, do you have theories on why he's struggling? Mm. You know, it could be more of a mental thing. Maybe it's physical. Who knows? You know, defenses are obviously approaching him in a different way based on the shift percentage. But you know, I think there's a lot of I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself because of the contract. You know, Eric thinks the Soto thing affects him too. Maybe it does.
I mean, I think it's just one in a million things.
Yeah. But give us a call and let us know if you think that you know, any of these are accurate. 800-636-1067. But he will come out of it, but he may have just one of those down years where he hits 230.
Yeah.
You know, the power
I don't think this is the new Bryce. This you're seeing him at his worst right now. And
yes.
You know, Guys go through hot streaks, and guys go through cold streaks. And we're watching him right now in the middle of a cold streak.
I think
streak.
He recovers that. Now, he may not get to 280. He may not hit his career average, but I think he gets back 260-ish, 265.
He's going
to
get hot again.
I think he has to.
He's going to get hot again.
Yeah, I mean, he's too good
he's
of a hitter not to.
Yeah.
You know, but if teams are playing him like they are and they're pitching him like they are, you know, maybe he tries to force it a little bit too much. He's got to learn to adjust, go the opposite way. You know, he can do that. He hits balls hard the opposite way. He can hit home runs that way.
He's certainly capable of it. But
if he's still trying to pull balls and he's hitting it right at the second baseman who's playing, 30 feet into the outfield, you know, it is what it is.
Neil Greenberg, our buddy from the Post, did a whole thing on Harper. I think it's in the paper today. You can check it out online. And just talk about how, you know, his strike zone has expanded, you know, recently, right? So he's swinging at more pitches. He's swinging and missing more. He's basically hacking out there instead of waiting for his pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's contributing. And because of that, he's had poor contact, so his exit velocity is going down. His bat speed is going down. Like, everything's just kind of trending in the wrong direction. And a lot of it is because, you know, he's not being as selective as he used to be.
And if you notice, when he's in a rut like this, a lot of the times when he's swinging and missing a lot. But when he swings and misses, he pulls his whole right side out. So he's not staying in there, keeping his head in the zone. He just kind of pulls out and just flails.
Well, and see the helmet. I told you a million times, he's the only guy where you see the helmet like fall off his head when he's swinging so hard.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on with Bryce right now. 800-636-1067 is the number. Give us your thoughts on what you just heard, what you've been seeing with Bryce, and do you think he's coming out of it?
I've never seen a guy with more helmet issues than Bryce Harper. Like, he must have it two sizes too big to accommodate that hair. It must be what he's doing.
Maybe.
Well, he does love his hair.
Why is the helmet flailing
around?
Well,
I'd love my hair, too, if it looked like that. It's pretty amazing hair.
All right, 800-636-1067. We'll bang out your calls. Let's go to one real quick before we go to break. Let's go to Kurt in Ashburn. Kurt, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you this morning?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Yeah, I just I like Bryce. I don't love him, but the way I kind of see it is he's had one great year in his whole kind of hype life, and that was the MVP year. Other than that, the guy has had some times when he struggles. He's generally a 250, 260, maybe 270 hitter. This year he's down 30, 40 points over that, and I just don't think that with that swing that he has, and he's always pulling off the ball, that he's ever going to be a 300 hitter for the most part. So this is a down year for most, given some pressure, but don't think he's ever going to be that 300 Mike Trout type player.
Well, he doesn't have to be to be
it
great.
It could be a 270, 280
yeah,
hitter.
Right now,
it's 30 bombs.
I mean, you could say
bombs.
He's a 250 hitter, but the fact is he's a 279 hitter over his career, 7 years in the big leagues. That's what he is.
Yeah,
he's a 280
with
hitter.
One great season. Yeah, with one great season, you know, and this year he's struggling even more than ever.
Well, remember,
timing.
Let me just refute what you said. All right, last year he hit 320, and he was having a bomb year before he got hurt, and he missed about 50 games. So you have to factor that in. If he would have played 155 games last year or 150 games, he would have hit 40 home. He would have had one of those MVP type of years.
And to be accurate, when he was 19, he hit 270. When he was 20, he hit 274. When he was 21, he hit 273. So, look, he's not a 330 perennial hitter,
right,
but that's not 250. But that's not 250. There's a big difference.
But this year, I think what he said is he'd rather hit 40 bombs and strike out more and have a lower average. It's kind of what a lot of players were doing. And maybe part of that's what he's focus on that's causing him even more problems.
I think he's just justifying the low average, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, and he's not Mike Trout. And when people compare him to Mike Trout, it's just not fair to Bryce. He's not Mike Trout. Mike Trout's a flop.
Yeah, and he's not Mookie Betts and a lot of other guys.
Right,
that,
he's not.
You know, may.
But he
so
can
how do you give a guy like that $35 million a year?
Well, that's up to the teams. That's up to the teams.
He's gone, dude. Let that go.
Yeah.
He's gone. Who cares what he makes? Let other people worry about that.
Yeah, we got great guys like Soto coming up that can replace
him. Yeah, Soto's legit. All right, thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it.
800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next on Bryce Harper. And Mike Rizzo joins us at 9 a.m.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't forget, if you're traveling this summer, if you're going to Bung Bung Beach with your family, if you're taking a business trip, download the all-new Radio.com app and listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere in the good old U.S. of A. Download it, put it on your phone, take the junks with you so you don't miss anything.
All right, smart. So taking calls on Bryce, 800-636-1067, give us your thoughts. Drab came in here during a break and said he doesn't think any of the Nats fans really care. They don't care if he comes back.
And they already just punted Bryce. Like, they think he's not coming back.
Well, that's because having a bad year.
It's because he's hitting 213.
Yeah.
When you're hitting 213, people that don't care, they just move on. Now, if he was hitting 330 and had 25, the power numbers are there. But let's say he had all the power numbers and he was hitting 330, then you would have a different. People
right.
will be but like, man, Soto, we got to find a way to keep
the
him.
The Soto thing definitely affects how fans feel, too. Because
yeah. Soto's, they're like, oh, we'll just have him.
Because Soto's having a great year. Now, Soto's young, and he's not going to hit 330, whatever he's hitting the entire year. But he's good. He was a very high prospect, high-level prospect, and he's proven he can play at the big league level.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nats fans go, well, we got Soto.
Right.
We got Soto, and then we got Robles.
And we got Robles behind him.
If Soto's batting 240 and not doing, doing okay but not great, you're not going to have the same sort of attitude towards Bryce.
Right.
It's a lot of things kind of moving
but
together.
But Eric's right. I mean, if Bryce was hitting 295 or 300 and was hitting game-winning homers and playing great, then Nats fans may feel differently.
Exactly.
But he's not.
All right. Let's go to Gino, Silver Spring. Gino, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, Junkies.
What's up?
Great to talk to you. I think BK is Brian Kenny's overstating the injury impact a little bit, and what I mean by that is if you look at Bryce Harper's career defensive WAR, not to make this geeky, but he is minus for his career in defensive WAR, which means that for his whole career as a defensive player, it's like minus .8, I think, for his career.
So
that's correct.
Right.
He's just about average. He's just a guy. When it comes to stealing bases, I think he had stolen 2 bases in his 50 games or whatever before he stepped over first base last year. And this gets to what I think is kind of going on with him. He's evolving in terms of his team and his contract and all that, which we talk about, but he's also evolving as a player. When he came up young, he did have athleticism and he played this very hard, fast, all over the place game. And he's turning into, already at 25, he reminds me of John Wall to cross sports a little bit, but he's kind of like an old 25. He's at 900 career games played already, which seems amazingly fast. He's evolving into a station to station sort of slugging, power hitting baseball player. And Bish, you, I think, hit the nail on the head. It's the reason the teams are shifting is in response to where his mechanics are in terms of his swing. So when his helmet is flying off EB and his head is moving around, it's because he's mechanically flawed. And when he's mechanically flawed in his swing, what happens is he's on top of it. Danny was talking about this yesterday on Grant and Tanny. But essentially what he does is he tops a lot of balls and he pulls them. So when he's hitting ground balls in this sort of mechanical slump, they're all going to be pulled ground balls to the right side of the infield. Well, the other managers in the major leagues watch the tape of how Bryce is swinging, and I think they're shifting so much, they're overshifting in response sort of to how he's playing. So I think if he can mechanically fix it a little bit, go a little bit more the other way and just try to drive the ball into both alleys of power, his but he's going to turn into, like, at the end of his career, and this is going to sound funny, but if I've had trouble sleeping the last couple of nights. I could write, like, a thesis paper on Bryce Harper's career at this point at 25.
You've had trouble sleeping because you're worried about Bryce?
No, I'm worried about life, and so to escape, I've been...
He just thinks about Bryce.
Been, sitting there just looking year by year through. He's going to wind up with a career that projects to look a lot like what David Ortiz's career numbers look like. If you take where he is right now and you look at the sample, let's say he gets to 2,000 or 2,400 total career games, which is reasonable, he's going to look a lot like David Ortiz, which is more of like around this 275 batting average, 450 to 500 home runs, and much more of a slugging station-to-station baseball player.
I would agree with that.
He's like a 2.5 tool player now, so terms of the money he's going to get, I don't think the Nats are going
to. Don't you think, though, the pressure of the contract's contributing to this, too? Because his strike zone is way expanded. He's just hacking away. The discipline is not where it was, even in March.
I do. I think it's the contract pressure. I think he's feeling a little bit of pressure from Soto.
Yeah.
Generally, the Nats outfield is crowded. And I also think that he may not, knowing it was a contract year, think about what 2% means when you're a pro athlete. So if he didn't really rehab at 1,000,000% in the offseason, and maybe he was just a touch below peak performance, you know, and getting himself ready as a pro athlete, if he came into the year a little slow and now he's having a challenging year and he's being pressed in all these directions, you're going to get like a 225 average at the end of the year. So I guess to the question, I don't know that I see him in a Nationals uniform. I don't know that I see him really, really breaking out of it. It seems like a pretty sizable rut.
Well, you make some good points.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
I think David Ortiz will have a better career than Bryce, and I think David Ortiz was a better hitter than Bryce. He certainly was a better clutch hitter than Bryce. And David Ortiz played a long time. David Ortiz played 20 years.
Yeah, so Bryce is going to play 20 years. Bryce only played 22, 23. Bryce already played 9.
No,
he can't be 9. Bryce Harper?
He's probably in his 8th year, maybe.
Dude, you'd be shocked how long he's been around.
No, Bryce maybe Harper? 7. Maybe 7.
Bryce Harper's not 9 years in. Yes. No lie.
He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's 7 years in.
He's 7 years in.
I would expect he's 25 years old.
But he also gets hurt a lot. He's missed a lot of games due to injury.
Yeah.
I mean, just compare his career games to Mike Trout. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper basically came into the league the same time. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout has not had the injuries that Bryce Harper's had. But David Ortiz, if he has a David Ortiz type of career, that's a Hall of Fame career. And I'm not sure that Bryce Harper's a Hall of Famer just yet.
But I think Bryce projects power-wise to those numbers.
Maybe,
I do.
Maybe
he may not have all the clutch things and win 3 championships and all that, but I don't think it's a bad comparison.
But Ortiz was basically a 300 hitter for his career. He was damn close. You think Bryce Harper's going to be close to a 300 hitter for his career?
No, I think he's going to be a 270 hitter.
David Ortiz was a better
hitter. 286.
Right, 290. That's a damn good career.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe the power numbers will
be
there.
I think the power numbers are going to be similar. He had 540 home runs.
But David Ortiz was a better all-around hitter than Bryce Harper is. Now, Bryce Harper can get better, but I would say right now that if you project him to have that type of career, you're talking about a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what a lot of people assumed with Bryce.
Yeah, but
that
right,
was been the assumption all along.
But think about
especially
it. How many,
after the
how many Hall
MVP
of Fame years.
Years
has he had so far right now? Basically 1.5, maybe 2. Last year would have been a Hall of Fame type of year if he didn't get hurt. And certainly the MVP year.
But all right, let's go to...
But this year definitely drags him down.
Let's go to David in Leesburg. David, what's up?
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, David.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Hey, a couple of things. If you look at statistically, I'm going to draw you a parallel. If you look at Manny Machado's first half last year,
yeah,
he was hitting about 210, 215. It was about the same number of strikeouts. He was chasing everything in sight. And a lot of that is just due to some luck. If you look at Bryce, every time I look at Bryce's game log lately, it seems like he's hitting at least one ball per game, 110 miles an hour, right at somebody every time. And it seems like he's getting a lot of he's got the power still. I also saw a stat somewhere that said he's being shifted on almost 3 times as often as he was just last season.
Yeah, we talked about it. So, it's up to like 50% of the time.
His shift percentage is very high. Yes.
Yeah. So I just think he's probably frustrated by a lot of that. He probably is trying to do too much right now. If you watch last night's game, I think he had 4 at-bats, and all of his balls in play went to left field. I believe he's trying to work with Kevin Long, the hitting coach, to change his approach to just put the ball in play.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
He has to. Well, I mean, that's where a third grader knows that.
That's where they pitched him. They pitched him outside all night. That's where they pitched him.
Right.
Yeah.
Is he taking... So he's got to adjust his approach. I think it's an adjustment year. I think they're going to re-sign him. I think he's going to get a deal with an opt-out after probably 3 years. But he's going to get a decent deal with the Nats because ownerships these days are not signing guys to these long-term deals anymore.
All right. I hope you're right. I want you to call back in when he re-signs then, David, okay? I hope you're right. I don't see it, but I hope you're right.
We'll see.
Thank you, buddy.
It just takes one. Yep. It just takes
Thank
one
you.
Suitor.
Maybe he resigns with the Nats because his price tag is going down.
It just
down.
Takes the Phillies or the Cubs.
It just takes one team.
Yeah.
It just takes one.
They want that star power. They want to fill some seats. Nah, he's not going to go like the Marlins or anything. But
right.
But
you could. It just takes the Phillies or the yep. Cubs or, you know, the Yankee, whoever it would be.
But it is right. He is right. They're not giving out these contracts the way, you know, they were before. And this kind of performance is not helping him.
No.
Correct.
Not helping him at all.
His value is not at an all-time high.
Yeah.
The talk of $400 million deal, that has quieted over the past few months.
It's a joke.
Yeah, he's not getting $400
You haven't really heard that.
Let's go to Rusty Greenbelt. Rusty, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think that Bryce is encountering the biggest adversity I think that he's had probably in his baseball life, and I think that it'll be interesting to see how he comes out of it. I think he will come out of it. I think that he's a smart and a good player, but the, you know, the shifting isn't helping him, and the other factors, I'm not sure how much the, you know, other players, how that's affecting his.
You don't think that'll make him press a little bit when you see the other young guys coming up there and just balling?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's conceivable that does bother him. But I saw him in the dugout because I watch pretty much all of the games on TV because I love the Nats, and I was a Senators fan when I was growing up, you know, and I love baseball. But he was next to a coach, and he was looking out on the field, and he was gesticulating to the coach, and it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, he's pressing, and he's trying to find a way out of this, and I think that eventually he will. But I'm a firm believer that adversity makes people stronger more than success, and I think that this will make him a better player, whether or not he ends up playing with us for the rest of his career. I can't be really sure. At the beginning of the year, I thought, oh, he's gone. He's going to go to the Yankees or somewhere else. And I heard a lot of rumors that he always wanted to play in New York. But now, not hitting so well, I don't know, where he's going to end up. I mean, sure, I'd love for him to stay with us, but I felt before this slump that we shouldn't pay that kind of money to keep him on the team, because there are so many other parts of the team that are important too, and you have to look at the big picture.
They'll be responsible.
All right. Thank you, Rusty. Appreciate it, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
Calls on Bryce Harper there. We'll talk more Harper and the Nats with Holden Kushner at 8:20 and Mike Rizzo as he joins us at 9 a.m. When's the right time to give her diamond jewelry, her birthday, anniversary, a new baby, or maybe just because? At Mervis Diamond Importers, it's always the right time with the finest selection of incredible diamond jewelry. Mervis offers quality and value with prices starting at around $500. Visit MervisDiamond.com to see some amazing ideas, including ear studs, bracelets, and pendants with stores in Tysons, Rockville, and downtown D.C. For an appointment, call 800-HER-LOVE or MervisDiamond.com. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Don't forget, in the 9 o'clock hour, right at the end of the show, 9:40, it is a Game Show Wednesday brought to you by MGM National Harbor. We're going to play World Cup trivia, and we have tickets to Bare Naked Ladies at Wolf Trap, and we have Quicken Loans National tickets to give away as well. So
Speaking of the World Cup, the Portugal game's getting ready to start in about 17 minutes, 16 minutes or so. I love the fact that when they say game starts at 8 a.m.,
yes.
It starts at 8 a.m.
They start it with a quickness.
Now, I know they do a pregame. They're doing pregame hype now. But when they say, when it's listed, on ESPN or wherever you're on your betting sites, 8 a.m., they start the game at 8 a.m.
It's not like a Stanley Cup final game where it's listed as an 8 p.m. start and the puck drop is at
8:27.
8:22.
Yeah.
Because the Vegas Golden Knights can't wait to start shooting the flaming arrows across the ice and do their wacky bits. They start these games right on time.
Correct.
They're prompt.
Got to love that about soccer.
They're punctual.
And we've got our wagers in. They're already placed.
Well, I wanted to throw that out there.
No turning back.
I keep talking about it. I would just love to hear from callers out there, from listeners out there. What are you doing to sort of pacify yourself with the World Cup? I'll tell you, my experience so far has been because the U.S. didn't qualify, I haven't really watched it. And I want to. I like soccer. I like I like World Cup soccer. It's meaningful.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not into it more because I thought
I like it.
I know you
do. I like it, but I'm just finding myself doing other things. I don't feel as invested because, you know, Team USA is not involved.
I'm actually shocked at the amount that I've watched with the U.S. not being involved. Like,
so we're having completely different experiences.
If there's a game on, I'm turning it on in the middle of the afternoon. I watched, I don't know, about a half of Poland-Senegal yesterday. I watched all of the Germany-Mexico game over the weekend.
See, what I'm
tuning
sleeping.
In. Soccer Cakes is alive and well over
you
here.
You know what it is? The time is not working for me. Because, I mean, I'm free.
Yeah.
But I'm sleeping. I mean, right. I'm coming home, and then go to sleep.
Right.
And then.
So you're asleep for basically the 11 and the 2
yeah.
games.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the
I'm
timing,
driving, sleeping.
And I know it doesn't work out great for people that work in a standard, like 9 to 5 or work in the middle of the day. But for wackadoo morning DJs that are done work around 10:30, these games are perfect. Because they start at 8 a.m. and the last one is generally starts at like 2 p.m.
Right.
And it's done by like 4 or 4:30. It's right in our wheelhouse.
Who are you rooting for?
That's what I want to throw out there. Yeah. How are you, are you consuming this like you would if Team USA was involved? And B, how are you, because like I have no vested interest. The only thing I guess I want to see Ronaldo because I want to see the best player in the world. Or I want to see Messi.
Well, here's how you get a vested interest. You wager.
And that's what Cakes is
US
doing.
U.S. currency.
That's
on
what I'm
games.
Doing. That's what Cakes
right,
is doing.
Right, that's
or
how you guys.
Or you get in these pools.
Because you guys weren't betting like this when you were just rooting for Team USA and we were having soccer
yeah, the
parties.
Last World Cup go around, I wasn't betting on games.
No, we were watching the games and we were having soccer parties.
I right. can't say the same.
We were having viewing parties.
you're right. So for me, I'm rooting for teams that I wager on. Obviously, I'm not
right.
rooting for any country.
I don't think you could pull a Landon Donovan really, and just I mean maybe you can, and just go. I'm rooting for Mexico. That's my team. I mean maybe you can.
I will say that are you guys tilted at all by the Volkswagen commercials where it's every country that's in the World Cup is basically taunting the United States by saying. Oh, we're from Belgium. We have the world's largest outdoor dance party. Sorry you're not in the World Cup. Root for Belgium, or root for Germany, or root for Iceland, because you American losers couldn't qualify.
Is that embarrassing?
For the World Cup. And it's embarrassing.
I haven't noticed it.
It's embarrassing. And Volkswagen, you know what they're doing? They're taunting us.
Right.
They're taunting us from afar.
Yeah.
And I, as an American, don't like it very much. I am not that entertained
now,
by
it. I have
it.
Seen a lot more Volkswagens on the road.
You have.
I've noticed.
Valdez maybe drives a Volkswagen.
Maybe it's working.
How are you consuming it, Drabby?
Well, I'm watching.
But you're
all
a
the
soccer
games.
Geek anyway.
No, I'm not a geek.
Who are you rooting for?
I get sized for Ronaldo, but the team that I want to win, I get sized for American allies.
Do you like Ronaldo because he's a great soccer player or because he's dreamy?
He's
or a combination
very
of the two?
Short shorts, like all that. Great, great hamstrings.
Right.
Yeah. Great hamstrings.
Yeah, I just get sized for greatness.
Right.
No, I'm an England guy. I'm rooting for England.
The English.
You know, we can always count on the British. And
so
I like
you root for American allies.
Of course. Why? Who's better?
I don't have a problem with that.
I think France is probably next up after that. They're pretty good to us.
Okay.
Russia, no.
Russia, you're not
Germany.
Rooting for.
Germany. They're okay.
Man, yeah. I had some issues in the past with the Germans.
Spain?
A while ago.
Spain?
Spain, mediocre.
Italy?
All right.
They're not in it.
They're not in it, yeah.
Oh, they're not?
Yeah, they're not.
Well, that's right.
Italy's out. Italy
right.
and the U.S. out. Outski.
I don't know why I thought they were in it. I guess, you know, most people
plus,
are probably
I think
doing
it'd be,
it.
For me, I don't know. I just, we have the closest connection soccer-wise to England with the Premier League.
What about Mexico?
That's a hell no. That's the last team I want to win.
Really?
You can't root for Mexico if you're an American. It's just impossible because of our sporting relationship. It's okay.
Okay.
That politically, I don't care.
Right.
But sporting wise, that's our Red Sox Yankees.
Right.
Can't root for Mexico. Landon Donovan is a jerk. Taking money to root for that team.
Yeah, he's taking
over.
I bet Wells Fargo put a lot of money in his pocket to root for the Mexicans in the TV.
You
spot.
He's actually
thing.
A traitor.
I don't know. I don't want to tell you who
you'd
to
be
for.
Draping the Mexican flag over
oh,
you if
yeah,
you were
you
paying
so
you
would.
To.
Someone Venmo Drab $500 to root for Mexico
yeah,
the whole World Cup.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to tell people who to root for, but I know for me, I'm just not personally invested in these other countries. You know what I mean? If you want to root for Mexico, go for it. But it's not that I'm rooting against Mexico or I'm rooting against. I just don't have any feeling for them.
Yeah, but that's like rooting for the Penguins because the Caps are out.
I understand that. But let people do what they want.
After they spit on our players.
I don't tell people how they should act. You act however you want to act. I'm just saying, for me, I'm having a hard time latching on. And like, unless I had a bet going or they had a superstar. I don't know. What are you doing over there, stupid?
I end up rooting for most of the teams in the World Cup.
Right.
At one point in the competition.
Right, because...
Like today,
you have money on it.
I'm rooting for three teams today.
Right. Hey, what are you doing?
I think Belgium's a good team to root for because they've got a superstar in Eden Hazard that plays in the Premier League. They also have a lot of young guys. Kevin De Bruyne's a superstar. Lukaku's a star, if you've ever heard of those names. I'm also rooting for Spain. They've got a lot of fun teams. But the big thing is I'm opposite of Drab. I am supporting Mexico. I think it's fun. I like their style of play. I love their players. Chicharito up top is their goal scorer. But the thing is, for me, is that...
He likes to sound so smart when he's talking about soccer.
I am, but...
Dropping names.
It's the one thing he kind of knows about.
Mexico and us, we have a huge rivalry, and I hate them during our CONCACAF group stage play and all that. But I'm supporting all the countries from North America.
Oh, that's where you're drawing the line?
So you're a big Mexico, Costa Rica guy?
Exactly. Even Panama.
South America, no?
Not sized.
No.
So I'm 100% rooting for Mexico, and every time they win, I feel good because... USA has beat them in the past, and I think we size up well against them in the future.
All right.
Look how serious
he gets. Can you talk
softer,
please?
He just gets
I'm
excited.
Into soccer. Who cares?
I like your energy. I traditionally have liked watching Brazil, and I guess I find myself rooting for Brazil, but that's because they have a unique style of play, right? They're so talented, and they have so many superstars. Who doesn't like watching Brazil play? Are they as good this year as in years past? Are they...
Yeah, I mean, Neymar is a superstar. Coutinho is a star.
Like every in the past, every player on Brazil is like making $20 million on their club team or whatever, right? They're all
superstars.
Icons.
Right.
And they do have a unique style of play.
Why doesn't AY just list some more players?
That's all I do.
By the way, I ask him, and he doesn't know a lot about soccer, but I ask him, I say, well, why is Portugal good? And he goes, oh, they have Ronaldo.
Right.
Why is so-and-so good? Right. Oh, they have player B.
I don't understand. Don't you do the same thing in basketball and baseball? Harper's the reason the Nats are good when he's good.
No, because Valdez would give you strengths and weaknesses of the teams.
Thank you.
I mean, I could do the same thing if you ask me a team.
Believe me, I don't want you to talk that much.
All right. You get sized when I'm picking your bets, though.
Well, I'm picking my own bets.
If you pick winners.
I picked my own winner yesterday. Hello. Everyone told me I was stupid. I was picking poo-poos. Money in my pocket.
You picked Japan to score a gold.
Yeah,
and it won.
Yes. And Egypt.
Big fatty.
Thank you. It's a winner.
He's a big fatty.
Why am I getting killed? All right, let's go to...
we'll go to Eric.
Let's go to Eric.
In Woodbridge. Eric, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Jones.
What's up, buddy?
I got into a conversation with some people the other day. They said that they were very disappointed America didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Uh-huh.
And my feeling was, soccer's not, quote-unquote, an American game yet. I can care less.
So you're not,
didn't qualify.
So you're not watching any of these games?
No, sir.
Yeah. You don't sound like you'd be a soccer fan.
You know, basketball, baseball, we're starting to fall off. Basketball, there's no other countries that can mess with us. Football... That's definitely an American sport. That's what I care about.
All right. Thank you. So he's out.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Let's go to...
But he's right.
That's a guy you're never going to win over.
He's right, though.
Yeah.
Let's go to Gerardo. Gerardo? I'm sorry.
Gerardo. There you go. Mr. Rico Suave. You remember?
All right. Okay.
What's up?
Oh, so I root for greatness.
Me too.
I love Messi. I'm a Barcelona fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know... You got Ronaldo. I mean, he single-handedly tied Spain.
Right.
Otherwise, Portugal is not that great. So as long as you shut him down, you should be beating Portugal. But, the World Cup is always the same teams always win. There's never, like, a underdog that comes out. So, as you know, your Brazils, Argentina, Germany, France, stuff like that. So, but it should be good, man. Everybody should be watching this. It's once every 4 years.
Right. I know I want to watch it. I like it. I've always loved it in the past. But with us not being involved, I can remember in years past when it was like I don't know, it was in Korea, wherever the hell it was. I was getting up at 2 in the morning to watch Team USA play.
Yeah.
I would get up before. I mean, I could barely. We were working nights at that time.
How did we do the last time we were in it? I can't even remember. How did Team USA do 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
How did we do?
Did we get out of our group?
We finished second place in our group behind Germany, and we lost to Belgium 2-1 in the round of 16.
In the round 16. All right, so they did advance.
Oh, this tweet is getting me a little bit Rick. This is from at Dr. Techie about 20 minutes ago. He says, I'm telling you guys, Iran is very organized. The coach is well aware of Spain's skill. Remember in Brazil 2014 versus Argentina? No, I don't remember this. Their defense held Messi and company scoreless till the 89th minute and only lost one zippy. He said, I would leave this one alone.
That's the one I kind of worry about.
It's kind of scurring me.
That's kind of the one I worry about, only because they lost their coach and there was some controversy.
Yeah.
You know, some, I don't know if they want to call it infighting, but there was some controversy around, surrounding the team heading into it. But they're better than Iran. And I don't know anything about soccer.
Well, they're one of the faves. They're one of the top two or three favorites in the whole tournament.
They should beat Iran.
You would think.
But, again, if you know if they don't come to play and it finishes 1-1 or 0-0, that's a loser.
Then I'm going to be heading to the bank later today and pay off Valdez.
Let's go to, is it BD? BD Quickly. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Like you guys, I'm an overnighter, and I'm struggling to watch the games in the daytime, but AY, can you tell me who the best player for Belgium is?
Eden Hazard.
Come on, bro. That's not how you say his name. I know you know soccer, but it's Eden Hazard, man.
Right. Eden, like the Bible term. What's the difference?
No, it's not. It's not Eden. It's Eden.
Eden. All right. Hey, he was closer than any of us would have been.
You're nitpicky a little bit. I mean, he does.
I mean, he knows the player.
If he knows one thing in the world, it's soccer. He doesn't know much else.
Hmm.
He knows soccer pretty well. All right, don't forget, Holden Kushner is going to join us in just about 20 minutes to break down some Major League Baseball. And Mike Rizzo, general manager of your Washington Nationals. He'll be on the show at 9 a.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.